Hello and welcome to the Clydesdale Chronicle, where we focus on preserving the stories of the past, addressing the issues of today, and generating ideas for the future. Enjoy.
But
are we ready?
Yeah, it's
all
going.
Right. Okay, well, welcome everyone to our latest episode of the Chronicle. We are live from the National Clydesdale Sale here in beautiful Springfield, Illinois. And since we're in Springfield, Illinois, we thought we'd sit down with the Johnson family, who's been very involved in all of the horses and especially involved in our sale, and they reside right here in Springfield. So I know, Grant, you're running for the board, but we really wanted to kind of get the whole family approach to this, because I think there's some funny stories, at least there was before we started. Hopefully they'll keep telling them as we keep going. So, Cale, I'm going to let you kick it off with the questions.
Yeah, so how did you guys get into the Clydesdale breed? We interviewed Grant for the board, and he was saying that you guys actually got the horse before you had property, but how did you get involved?
It started out with some friends of ours had an accident, and with their settlement, they purchased two Clydes, wagon and harness, and they needed some help. So they drafted our oldest son to help them. So as he helped them, we had to keep eyes on Mitchell to make sure he was behaving. And we just continued to enjoy the Clydesdales and purchased our own and property and built a barn, and here we are.
All right, so I just learned that there is more than two brothers. So I need you to just introduce the family for those of us that are listening that aren't familiar with your family.
Okay. The oldest son is Mitchell, and then we have Dustin. Dustin's not involved in our Clydesdale as much as Mitch, and then the youngest, Grant.
Okay, very cool. So what year was it that you bought your first Clyde?
We bought our first Clyde in 1991.
Okay.
And she was a raffle filly that they chose not to take. And so then we purchased her at the Clyde sale here in Springfield.
Okay. Did you keep her for a long time or use her as a broodmare? And
yes. Okay. Yeah, we had her for a long time until lost.
Okay. Gotcha. So what's, I guess, from there on, did you buy more mares and start breeding? Did you buy geldings? How was the evolution of Linden
and
Clydes?
No, we had mares. We wanted mares. We wanted to have babies.
Okay.
Struggled with our first, we lost our first five babies.
Oh.
You know, we had a mare that had twins that lost twins probably about 9 months. And then we had some others. But anyway, we continued, still had hope, and now we don't foal our own horses out. We go over to Arthur, Illinois, to the vet clinic there, and mm-hmm. they have a nice facility to foal out the mares and take care of the babies and get them started. And so we go and pick them up when they're about 3 days old.
I was just going to ask, how long do you leave them there?
Not very long.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the less time, the less expensive.
I know. That's what cha-ching, cha-ching is what was going on in my head.
You know, we have a mare that she's had two babies over there, and she doesn't like her babies.
Mm.
And so they have really had to work with, you know, her getting her to like the baby and let it nurse.
Mm-hmm.
So Dennis and I are getting older, and it's nice to have that taken care of. It's a lot of work.
But for you guys, you don't live where the barn is. So
no, we don't.
So it's really handy. And then it takes all the stress off when the mare is over there and they're in professional care, and it's you don't even have to worry.
Right.
Yeah.
I get a phone call. We get a phone call.
You got a filly.
It's like being grandparents. Yeah. The next one's arrived. Come visit it when you're ready.
That is kind of cool. God.
So Grant does most of the driving. So what he drives is, you know, what our babies that we've had.
Yeah.
Yep.
So sometimes they don't match.
No.
But well, that's what we have.
Yeah.
But we make it. And that's kind of the joy. Worth and seeing them grow up and, you know, and just mature and grow and improve.
Well, it's more rewarding when you've, you know, bred it. They fold it out, had it, grown it up, broke it, and then you get to show that horse that you've put all that time, energy, blood, sweat, and tears into actually turn out to be something.
But I did kind of change mom and dad's philosophy with having just mares. I was 16 and bought my first horse.
I remember that sale.
Yeah.
Well, your mom was a basket case.
No, well, that was my first horse. My second horse was 2 years later.
Oh.
That's when you bought the stallion.
Correct. Solomon's.
She was still a scooter. Basket case.
That's what I was referring to scooter, but yeah. I remember that day. Linda, you were just tore up.
You're like, he needs that horse. He wants that horse.
Grant just spent his college money on a horse, a stallion. I remember that.
I had told the boys, we're not having a stallion.
Yeah.
Not on the property. No stallion on the property.
Yeah. That didn't work out, did it?
And they listen like boys. Not at all.
The gavel fell too late.
But yeah. So I had, when I bought my first horse, I had two horses picked out, and Scooter was one of them. And I think he went first, and he went too high. Then I got Glencoe McCain.
Groves horse.
Great horse. He was able to do everything. And then 2 years later, Scooter came back and got into a moment. I was like, well, you know, got the bid and so forth, and then had some friends around me encourage me. And it's like, oh, that's a nice horse. Yeah, yeah, keep on going. One more bid. And, of course, you know, the auctioneer's encouraging one more bid, let's go half,
mm-hmm.
and so forth, and finally got to the number where it was like, oh, this is not
it's more than I was planning.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, come on, someone else has to jump in. No one jumped in. And then when the gavel fell, mom found out, was like, you just bought that horse. And it was quite the scene. I mean, it was emotions and excitement. I mean, but having a stallion, I mean, you would never know he was a stallion. He was an amazing horse. Started riding him because that's what I want to do. Rode him, presented the colors. Illinois State Fair, first time riding class, open riding class for Western English, all combined. There was 20 horses, and I got first place. I mean, him and I had such a connection. It was just amazing to be with him. And, you know, looking back of it, mom's, I mean, it was acceptable. And it was...
Oh, yeah. Well, at the time, you're thinking, holy crap, here's a 16-year-old that just spent a potload of money. Because what did you pay for him, Grant?
Six.
I thought it was about $6,000.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're thinking, like, God, like, there's $6,000, and it's, like, Linda, a stallion. Like, what the hell do we want that around for? But everything happens for a reason, because it ended up being a really cool horse that you did some tremendous things with.
Yeah.
And then you used him as a stud, too, didn't you? Breed quite a few mares to him.
Yeah.
And he's produced some... Like, I remember back in the late 90s, early 2000s, we're having some good foals off of him.
Yeah. So, Chuck Carterman had him.
Was it Linda Hanna, too, one of those? Yeah. Yep. She was a height.
Steve Gregg had him. Had her.
Okay.
That's Mitchell Johnson speaking right now.
Yeah. I remember.
The one thing he's going to contribute to this.
With Solomon Scooter, that's what my daughter Hannah learned. That was her... cart horse.
Yeah, the horse she learned to drive
Grant
on.
Would drive Scooter, and then we wouldn't even bid him down. We just put him right back in the ring, and for Hannah, and she'd drive him no problem.
Yeah. It was really cool to see when your kids got of age, how they jumped right into it, and I think they're still probably got to be still involved. I think both of your kids helped out you guys, and then helped out some it pony people?
Yeah, Hannah worked for the Mangle Farm, showing halflingers.
Okay.
And, Also, West Mangles has Belgians.
Yep.
She would help them. Now, Parker would help the Mangles also, and then he also helped with Ann and Jeremy Natsinger, and they had miniatures.
Okay.
Miniatures and Belgians, and they had a Clyde.
Okay.
So they had big or small. They loved them all. So that's what Parker drove everything from a cart, tandem, team, unicorn, and four. They would go there with several wagons and carts, and they would just drive, and then he said they hitched a 6 and an 8, but he drove the 6 at the farm, but he wouldn't drive it in the ring.
Yeah.
Jeremy always drove.
That's cool, though, the experiences that they got to.
Anything with hair, give it to him.
But we talk about sometimes, you know, like you don't need a whole 6-horse hitch. It's just amazing the story you just told where you started with the one horse and the impact that one horse has. We talked to the girls from the youth program, and they both had, you know, one horse that really can spark that catalyst for, you know, building what is now a family tradition. And it doesn't take much but one to do that. What is the best horse? You know, you're talking breeding. Do you think is the best horse that you've bred, or the one that you're the most proud to have your prefix?
Hannah was. Hannah.
Hannah 2.
Hannah 2. And then Hope was a mare that we had that she was top notch as far as halter for us. She won everything. It was one of them years the Johnsons came in and we won everything in Illinois. I think it was the first and last. But them two horses really made an impact on me. And so, yeah.
What would you say, Linda?
I don't know, Grand Stallion.
Yeah.
I still get tears in my eyes when I think that he's not here.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, talking about just how calm and generous he was. We were at a show in Wisconsin, and I don't know what year it was, but it was near the, I think it was the last day of showing, and we were just in our stalls, just my mom and I, and the individual, that mother and her child show up, and the child was in a wheelchair and kind of, you know, very ill.
Yeah.
And the daughter wanted to see the horse so bad. And I opened the door and was like, no, just roll her in. Just bring her on in. I trust him. Not a problem. Scooter lowered his head. The daughter reached up and petched him. And I mean, it was just, everyone just got emotional. Just
yeah.
That bond. And
calm. Yeah.
And that's a stallion. Working with all those Saddlebreds horses that my middle brother and I, Dustin and Mitch, all worked at a Saddlebred stable. And, you know, Saddlebred stable.
Turn your mic a little bit. There you go.
Saddlebred stable horses are just a little more, high strung.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, what we experience as young,
yep.
young boys working with these horses, just you have to be constantly mindful. And then we get the stallion and the temperament is so calm and docile and where I can trust this mother who I have no relation, just met 15 minutes ago. And I'm going to open this door and let her daughter.
Handicapped child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roll in the stall with the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's moments like that being pretty special. And I don't know if it was Dustin's or Mitchell's children, like, cleaning stalls, and the horse, I mean, they were in their stall with me, and, you know, having the child walk underneath the horse, which was never what
okay.
you want to do, and, like, you get that moment, but it's, you know, that moment, it's like, you know, I don't want that ever to happen again, but, you know,
yeah.
it's that perception,
yeah.
you know, that it's acceptable, it's okay, but it wasn't. But still, that kind of...
But you knew that the horse, you didn't want them to learn that as a bad habit, but you knew the horse was not going to hurt them, and they knew the horse well enough to know that, oh, we can crawl under him, he's not going to
yeah.
do anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they don't want him to get that habit and then try it on another horse
yeah.
at a young age.
Absolutely.
Yeah. yeah. So, Dennis, what was the most impactful horse for you? We got to get you to speak a little bit.
Not too much. I just primarily do what I'm supposed to do, what I'm told to do. make sure everything's repaired, operable, or should be organized. Get it together.
Yeah, that was your duty, huh?
But the interesting, my dad, you know, is a teacher, retired school teacher, and he taught industrial arts.
Okay.
The gentleman that built our barn built the structure of the barn. My dad did most of the work inside, building the stalls, building the tack room. Mitchell's a plumber. He was working at the company and installed all the plumbing.
Okay.
So, I mean, the things inside that barn, yeah, it's not fancy compared to some other people, but I think about it, it's like, we all did this inside. Our family, my dad, had the tools, the knowledge. I don't have the knowledge like my brothers have, my dad have, with the skills of those sorts. But,
yeah.
you know, for my dad to build the barn, and if I measure a piece of wood, I'm measuring 5 times and I'm cutting 6 times. You know, it's
isn't it say measure twice, cut once?
Yeah.
I feel like he cut, then measured.
Yeah. And then like yeah, it still doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, like, I need to go buy a new piece of wood now.
Yeah.
But you know, just that knowledge that my dad has, and you know, the time and effort, you know, it's blood, sweat, and tears. And
yeah,
it'd be nice to have a fancy elaborate barn and all the bells and whistles, but then I go in here, I was like, this is us. This is the family. This was built by my dad.
You appreciate it more when you worked your butt off for it. Like, I remember when we built the barn that we have now, or that I have buying for my parents now. But I remember when we had one pigtail light in the entire barn.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was it. And now it's like, holy crap. And it's little by little by little. You change mm-hmm. things and you advance things. But yeah, it was the same way. Like, you may do with what you have and you kind of upgrade it. But you appreciate it more when you work your ass off mm-hmm. for it to get there. So, but that's what makes it relatable to everybody, because everyone's going through that same crap. Most of them are. Some of them have a huge wallet.
Yeah.
But
oh, and just FYI, we're gonna have a barn day to repair fence.
Way to make that announcement.
No, So they were just talking earlier, and Mitchell's like, I'm the repairman. And then your dad's like, I'm the repairman. And I'm looking over here at you, Grant, going, how much stuff are you breaking? Like, I feel like you got to be the person who breaks everything, and it takes two people to fix it. What's going on this farm?
It's all good. It's all good. Wear and tear.
Well, that's how you get the family together.
Yeah, yeah. Come on over. We're going to fix fence together. Yeah.
And mom will
that's
take care
of it.
Yeah.
This is the brother nobody knows about that's going to talk right now. Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, when I look at the experience of having horses, and really for the last 25 years, I've been removed because I haven't lived around here. But it's those memories of working together at the barn or in the pasture, putting your time and effort in to make it yours. Mm-hmm. And I think when I look back, those are great memories. I still remember hanging a steel beam or two for the hayloft, and the four of us, mom wasn't out there. But I mean, we got it done, but we were kind of, you know, jacking around, having a good time.
How many explicits were there while you were hanging that one beam?
I think four or five, probably. Not
okay,
a lot.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Only thing I remember is somebody turning on the hot wire when I fixed it, and it goes all the way through. That was both of you two.
I do not recall that.
They're probably sitting over there giggling when they switch. Yeah. Yeah.
They heard a few words that
time. So speaking of family dynamics, my family, when we take horse pictures, it's a bad day. How does that work with your family? When you guys take pictures of horses, do you guys still get along for that? But because for me, that's the worst day on earth.
Deal with it.
Wow.
I feel like they're a little more go with the flow than you are, Caleb.
Well, mom, Linda here is very assertive. She will get things lined up. I feel more sorry for the photographer than for the family, because she'll put a timeline. We're doing this. This is it. We're going to make it happen. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and she'll get it done and she'll have her list. But, you know, it's we listen to mom.
Yeah.
There's never any drama.
No.
It's a house full of men. There can't be any drama.
As long as they get my good side, I'm happy.
Oh, I was talking about photographing horses, not family portraits.
Not sorry.
Oh, yeah.
You can edit that out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we do it. Usually my mom tries taking the pictures, and then my dad's trying to get the ears of the horse, and I'm the one barking and bitching, and then usually we're fighting for a couple weeks after that, so... I try to get friends now to help me do that. They don't seem to hold on to a grudge as long. So,
we're usually the sunlight's the issue. We always seem to take any time we need to take pictures. It's during the afternoon and the sunlight's in our eyes.
Yeah,
and that's usually, you know, things we.
So after all these years, you haven't realized that 4 o'clock is the magic time to take pictures.
No, we like to do it 2 o'clock when we're sweating.
Yeah.
I will try better.
I might say slow learners over here.
If we can't be sweating and squinting, it's not a good opportunity.
And it's not authentic, yeah. So what do you guys have at home, at the farm now? What horses do you have there? How many you got?
We have 3 geldings and 2 mares.
Okay.
And we got 1 mare just bred back, so we're actually going to pick her up today.
Okay.
So, Austin Banga did the breeding, and we're going to drop her off here today at sale and take her back out the property.
Awesome. Right. Very cool.
Well, 3 geldings. Do you do parades? Like, what are you? Are you out in the public with them?
No, we really don't want to do that. That's another area we just don't want to touch.
Because you can't get along as a family to actually get there and get back?
I mean, it's a lot of work. I mean, it's to schedule something, to do something. I mean, liability. I mean, I think that's more the bigger. I've been asked when I used to work at the University of Illinois Springfield, they asked me to do some stuff. I've been asked to do some Christmas stuff, you know, during the holidays. And that's just something I don't feel comfortable doing. It's a lot of work. And to ask my family to, hey, let's all take a half a day off or take, you know, the next all day to get the horses ready to travel, hitched up, doing it for a couple hours and so forth. It's just not something we like to do. It's just something that we never really got into. We'll get ready, start driving the horses here, getting ready for State Fair. We don't go to a lot of shows, State Fair, Illinois State Fair. We'll go to the World Show this year. And just drive them in on the pastures. Usually on the weekends, Saturday and Sundays are our day to where I go out and, Hannah and Parker Mitchell's children. We're trying to get Dustin's, older daughter Zoe to get involved. Start driving and showing. She likes horses, And then we have another friend, Madison, that helps us out, who has shown for us. So usually if I get a group of three or four people out there, that's what we'll do. We'll do a cart, we'll do a team, and try to find someone to ride one as well.
Yep. Okay.
So all you have now, are they all home raised?
Yeah. No. Both mares came from Dr. Gower.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Dr. Gower's.
Very cool.
Okay.
So are you planning on going to the World Show?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we'll be here at the World
okay.
Show.
Okay. You're going to probably bring in the whole barn?
Three or
not
four.
Not the old gelding.
Yeah, okay. I have my retired shooter. He's retired.
Was that the Roan gelding, right?
Yeah, okay. Correct. Yeah. Named after Scooter. yeah, right now at least three to four.
Okay, very cool. That's exciting.
Are you planning to ride at the show?
Not. I don't know. I got. I would like to. It's there. If not, our young lady that rides for us, she shows for us, Madison, hopefully she will be able to do some riding for us.
Okay. Now so we're going to challenge him to get on a horse again.
Yeah. That's not the problem. I can get on the horse and ride. It just, if I can get into my riding suit.
Oh.
They sell bigger clothes.
I don't want, it's
someone to reinvest,
thing.
Huh?
Yeah.
They got a shot now for that. Yeah.
So we're gonna,
go to the Minute Clinic and fix that.
So yeah, go to the doctor, hold your suit up, and this needs to fit by October.
Yeah.
What can you do? So we're gonna go around the table. I want everyone's best family memory or a memory that was like super impactful, or like your best accomplishment, or the best family memory within the horses, how it relates to back the horses, or just a memory. It doesn't have to be your best, but one that sticks out in your mind. So we'll start with you, Grant.
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I talked about buying a scooter here, riding a scooter at the Illinois State Fair, reading that riding class. You know, there's so many. I think probably the most recently one is probably driving the Budweiser Clydesdales here at the Illinois State Fair back in 2021, I believe.
Back in your home state
fair.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And it was my first time on the wagon. And Dave Thomas, my supervisor, is like, hey, so What are you doing today? What do you want to do with the hitch? I said, whatever. I'll be on the golf cart. I'll scoop manure. It's not a problem. I'll just wave. Like, no, you're going to be on the wagon, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's emotions hitting you and, you know, excitement. And of course, that's Friday before I go to vacation to go to the Illinois State Fair to show horses with my family.
Your own horses. Yeah.
You know, so one thing to another. And of course, Friday is the day we come move in, and Friday here at the State Fair is insane with cattle people moving in, draft horse people moving in. Usually light horses are moving out. So it's kind of a cluster. And then trying to call my family, hey, I'm going to be driving the Budweiser Clydesdales and trying to
get them here.
Yeah.
Cause they're not going to want to miss that.
Yeah. And like in the course of the, you know, state police are trying to clear the roads and so forth. Like, well, you can't, you know, you can only be here for so long. Got to move. So, you know, Mitchell's moving, trying to trailer, dad's moving a trailer. Cause you know, with us, we have, you know, three trailers with the Clampets with one truck just loaded from the bed of the truck up and cinched down and so forth. You know, it's, you know,
you're really good when you got to strap the wheelbarrow to the trailer, to the trailer door.
When you said the Clampets, I'm like, man, my whole childhood was like reenacting the Clampets every weekend.
Yeah.
And then eventually I think Parker was working at the State Fair doing something. He had a golf cart and Parker was able to move the golf cart around enough to get my mom up to come see me because the State Fair parade had to be changed because of the traffic jam out here on the main road between the 25 and 18 bars. So they had to change the route of the parade for us. So Parker was able to get mom and, you know, see me drive the Clydesdales. And it was just an emotional day for me from that experience. It was always my dream. Mm-hmm. Never thought it would ever happen working with the Budweiser Clydesdale. But yeah, but we all have dreams and aspirations, and that was one of them. Be in my hometown, and you know, for my family to be here was
be a part of it. Yeah,
yeah, it was amazing.
That's awesome. All right, Linda, move the mic a little bit closer for her.
Probably first time when Grant had bought his wagon, and we had a team of probably mares you drove.
No, it was gilding.
A gilding mare. Okay. But the first time going in the Coliseum here at Springfield, that was, you know, his wagon, our horses, and at the fair.
Yep.
Not to get off topic, but speaking of the wagon, that's Mindy Griffin, the wagon, right?
Yeah. Yep. Angel Bex.
Angel Bex, yep.
Well, what was the other thing funny? I don't know if it was that same show or another show, but we were in the arena. Mitchell was riding with me. Mitchell's waving, and I'm stone-faced.
Mitchell's waving? What are you, some kind of princess?
Oh, yeah.
You know
what?
I'm throwing out beers to everybody.
So I'm driving and, you know, being Mr. Concentration, and, yeah, you know, I don't see anything but the horses. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong here, Mom, that the individual is sitting in front of you. And it's like, I don't know why those boys are in there. Their horses don't match. They're not the same sex. So forth. They know they're not going to place. Well, correct me wrong. Didn't you say up? Those are my boys, and they're having a time in their life, and they're loving it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what place they come in.
No. So. You're doing it.
And I said, that's what the horses we have. That's what you have to drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes it makes you a better trainer, like, because you have to make that work.
Mom, do you want to tell about the whip incident at the state fair?
I feel like we need to hear about this.
Can't back out of this one, Linda.
I don't think that we need to hear about this.
I think we do.
I'll do it.
All right, lean in, Mitch. Lean in. Let's get it.
So, Illinois State Fair, we're Sunday morning. We're showing halter horses. And, of course, there's not enough places, not enough people. So we got mares and yearlings. We got a stallion up there. And here comes saddlebred person in a Volvo, right behind my horse and a filly I got. They start rearing. Linda comes out of nowhere,
like
with
flying
whip.
Out
yes.
of nowhere,
with a whip, starts smacking it across the windshield. And she and he see, and then
this is what happens when you don't tell your own story.
And then so people
Mitchell
are
exaggerates,
and we're sitting here and. Don Marinsky and Chad Marinsky are right there. They go, we are not messing with that woman.
Yeah.
And we're right across stalls from them. So we had a good conversation. We had a good time. So, yeah. Needless to say, the Volvo left very quickly after that and no longer will drive through between the practice barn and in the Coliseum, because that's where you're in the practice barn and the horses walk across and you get them into the show ring. So we were switching horses out, trying to get everything, and they came through there. Honking the horn and everything else.
Yeah,
so
it was like,
interesting.
I don't know.
Always happens to the Johnson.
I got a new shirt out of the deal, and it says the Whip Lady on it.
Oh, I thought I was going to say Volvo.
That shirt's coming later.
She might have missed your calling as a whip person. Shit.
But to this day, Don Marinsky still brings that up to her. Sooner or later during a show, he's going to miss it. Linda, about the whip lady, be careful.
Yeah.
As far as what I can recall is that we're just average folks, and the joy I see is what we've enjoyed as a family. I think anything else is we're able to do something that we truly enjoy, and a lot of people out there in society, you just know what's going through, especially children's minds. What they would love to do.
Yeah.
So that's really the blessing I look at. That we go in, try and have a good time, do the best we can, come out safely, and enjoy it.
That's cool.
All right, Mitchell, what's your best memory?
I mean, I've got a few, but one of them is when we went in there and we won a lot of, with our homebred horses, won a lot of the premier breeder that one year and a lot of the silver and everything. That was pretty memorable for me, is that. And then another one was we had a yearling stallion that really did really good for us, and Budweiser happened to be here doing a demonstration, and they were watching the show that day, and then one of the guys on the wagon came down and saw us and wanted to know if he was for sale. So, and then we sold one to them there at the Illinois State Fair, and then SJR heard of the State Journal Register, the local newspaper heard about it, did an article on the family and the horse and where he was going.
Yep.
So, and then I think also my kids showing family horses too.
Yeah.
Where I'm spreading that out is both kids find a horse, they work it, they do everything at the farm, and then come out here and show it and try to do their best they can.
Well, you're creating those same memories you had as a child for them by that. Yep. Yeah, that's cool. And I think the kids in the horse business, like, they just become well-rounded. They're talking to adults, kids, younger kids, and them. Like, you're well-rounded, and you're not afraid of work. You're not afraid of conversation. And I think it makes for a well-rounded individual later in life. So,
well, and I think some of it is just, like, really having to work as a team, like, as a family. Like, you have to be able to have some conflict. And it sounds like you guys have had your fair share of conflict, too. We live in conflict a lot. But they learn how to navigate it. And they learn how to navigate it really well. And they also learn that, you know what, when things get tough, you probably all stick together. And you all still have a common goal. I think that's one of the like unsung things about the family operation is we can really get a lot done when we stick together, but these families are pretty tight.
Yeah.
And all right. You pick a fight with one, you pick a fight with all. And all I'm looking at all these boys going, I don't know that I want to fight today, Kale.
And Linda with the whip.
And Linda with the whip. I'm actually a little more scared of her than I am of the four of you.
All right, Dustin, you're up. What's your...
I'll preface with what I'm going to say. I've really been 25 years, I've been fairly removed from this with work obligations. But like, I think when I just think of like something that I still remember, I'm going to go back to when I was like 13. So we're looking like 37 years ago almost. And here at the State Fair, once again, you see we're back to this Illinois State Fair. And junior in hand or halter class, I won it. And I just remember still like you know, blue ribbon pictures. I still remember the picture I got with the horse. And then the gold and silver belt buckle, which when you're 13, boy, it looked big.
Oh yeah.
And the funny thing.
And now it might not.
And within the last year, I had found that, showed it to my two kids, and it's so small, yeah. You know. But still, there's that memory, you know.
Thank God they're small, yeah. So they think it looks big.
Yeah, so they were like, that's huge. I'm like, exactly. But here, you know, 37 years later almost, that memory. And I'll admit, I was never one, probably the best person in the show ring. I was probably better helping get the horse ready, and like, I'll get you into the ring, I'll catch you coming out.
Yeah.
And I knew I think that was my place, and I was totally okay with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's still one of those memories that just still sticks with me. You know, so I peaked at 13 in the show ring, went out a champion, and I'm good with that.
But you're gonna make up for it because you're gonna retire in 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he knows how to play this game. But did either of your brothers ever win a belt buckle?
I don't think so.
So did you have? So you also had bragging rights,
right? And I think now that you've mentioned that, I'll have to bring it out every now and then at family gatherings. Yeah. Like, check this out.
I really feel like it needs to come out.
I want a candy dish.
And what did they call you when you won?
They called me Michelle. They didn't see the E.
So your brothers didn't have a heyday with that either, did they?
No, but still the announcers do to this day.
I guess I've never been to the Illinois State Fair for the fair. But.
Oh, it's a nice fair. It really is. One of the things I was telling somebody when I was telling them I was coming down there, and they're like, oh, Springfield. And I'm like, no, like you go to Minnesota State Fair, you go to Iowa, you go to Illinois. Like, you have these beautiful buildings. Like, there's architecture in those specific, like, I haven't traveled a ton, but those three state fairs, they still have some of the original buildings, and they've put a lot into keeping some of these buildings up.
Yeah.
Every one of them are really unique. Well, so I think that's what makes it super special, too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I, with me serving on the World Clydesdale Show and so forth, and just got done with giving a tour, people, I don't think, understand the brick barns. I think people see there's some drawbacks and so forth, but when the barn is full, the road is full with the wagons, it is something to...
It's a picture.
It is. I mean, a lot of these buildings on this fairgrounds are historic buildings, so they will not tear them down to build something new.
Yeah.
Where we're having the banquet, the exposition building was built in 1848.
You know? That's the coolest part of these fairgrounds, and there is nothing more picturesque than this alley out here in front of this barn with all those small barns. I mean, it's beautiful.
I think the prettiest pictures that Chris Stone's ever done have been of the outside, like the lineup when we used to line the horses up outside to go into the ring. Those are my favorite portraits that she's ever done.
You know what? I got a Christmas gift from Grant.
He's trying to buy that favorite son thing, huh?
Yeah.
Probably winning
but
that now.
He didn't get a belt buckle, but he's going to win mom's favorite. Yeah.
I was given a picture from Chris Stone. She painted, and it's of the barn, 18A, and she put Grant in the wagon, horses in the picture.
Awesome.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was a year and a half project to get, you know, to commission it.
Yeah.
Get to work out and details, but no, and I kind of misstated the building was built in 1804.
Okay.
So forth, but you know, all these buildings are so much prestige and history. And the other thing we haven't talked about and why the fairgrounds and Springfield means so much to our family. Mom and Dad met on a blind date in 1967 And their first date was here at the Illinois State Fair when they went and saw
They came to the fair as a date.
Yes. They saw a grandstand show. I don't know who the performer was.
Jack Jones.
We all have to look that up because none of us know who that is.
But it means so much for my parents.
Maybe it'll be surprising.
Because it means it's love. And we have. We love the fairgrounds. We love the Springfield. Having the World Show, not to change the topic here, but to have this in our hometown is it's going to mean so much to us and the community. And I don't think the community right now understands how big this event's going to be. But, that connection that our family, my parents have with the fairgrounds.
That's special.
It makes it special for us as well.
Yeah.
And we want to go on there and do our best as we can with the horses we have.
So, the Minnesota State Fair does a really good job with, 50-year awards. It was a big goal of my dad's to get one of those 50-year awards. Does the Illinois State Fair do anything like that for, its consecutive year,
exhibitors
or... just showcasing the people who've supported the fair throughout all the years from an exhibitor standpoint.
Years ago, they did it for a gentleman by Mr. Taft, who was a Percheron.
Yep.
I know Philip Nielsen, who is Belgian, he always makes it. And I think he's been here 48 or 49 years. So I think that's his objective.
Yep. But
yes, they do give significant recognition when it's deserved.
I know, after COVID... The following year, I think it must have been 2021 when they restarted the fair, they recognized a lot of families.
Yep.
Vos Corn Dogs, I think McGrews were recognized. And I think there's probably beef and cattle and sheep. You know, someone from all those disciplines, animals were probably all recognized. So, yeah, they do kind of sometimes do special awards for exhibitors.
Well, I think if it wasn't for the exhibitors, it's hard for the fair to exist. So, it's just kind of interesting what they do to kind of give back to all those people that have kept it going all those years. And it sounds like the Illinois State Fair is as special. My mom and dad were on, and it's the Minnesota State Fair for us. That's the place where you grew up, and you have all those, like you said, your first date, super impressive memories. But
it was a blind date.
Why did you ever agree to a blind date?
There's no dating apps, Ben. Like,
is that what blind dating is now?
There was a friend of my parents, and their son went to the same college Dennis did in Kansas.
Okay.
And she told me, Mike's mom, she said, when Dennis comes up to visit Mike, she said, I'm going to fix you up. And I said, oh, okay. And I'm 16. I get a call one afternoon, and it's Mike's mom, and she says, she said, well, Dennis is here. She said, get a girlfriend. And she said, I'll pick you up. We have two extra tickets to the grandstand show. So I said, okay, I'll get a friend. So they picked Vicky and I up, and we went to the grandstand. And I sat next to Dennis, and Vicky sat next to Mike. And here it
was. It love at first sight?
Oh, I don't know.
I probably had to be educated.
Oh, you needed some training before you could be loved. Okay.
With a whip.
With a whip. This comes full circle.
But anyway.
I was so going to press the button. I got a button on here from when Dave and Linda, we recorded. There isn't there talking.
We have been married 56 years.
That's really cool.
I know, but I had to ask if it was love at first sight, because my mom said, well, I didn't think really much of him.
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty cute.
That's pretty cool. Anyway. But it's neat that it's still back at this fairgrounds, and you're still back at this fairgrounds showing with your family. That's special. And y'all still get along and still want to do it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
That's our life.
I know.
It's our life.
Yeah. It's your number one family vacation that you're going to bust your butt year-round for and spend money on, but your goal is to get back here as a family and enjoy it. Yeah. And that's what this is all about. To me, we've always talked, the friendships you make, and it's like you guys, I see you here every year at the National Sale, and you get to see friends and reminisce and shoot the crap, and that's what keeps you going.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
All these memories make me have teary eyes.
Yeah. I know, they're fun, but they almost have to be shared with people, because I think this is an industry that costs some money, but I don't think anybody really understands just how much you can get back from it.
The memories and the relationships.
The memories, the relationship, the family, the laughs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned the World Show a couple times, Grant. What we'll end it with this. What are do you have any concerns about the World Show? What are you trying to do to promote it? I know you're right here in Springfield. What are your thoughts on the upcoming World Show in October?
I think the exhibitors are going to experience an amazing show that I don't think they've experienced in the previous Madison. I think we get kind of complacent after you've been at some place multiple times. Mm-hmm. Madison was 3 years. It's going to be new. It's going to be different. There's always going to be challenges. Mm-hmm. I know the committee and the board's going to do everything we can to make this a perfect show and try to make everyone happy. We understand we're not going to make everybody happy, but we're going to do our best
to try. Yeah.
Push is really trying to get the community involved. I'm trying to reach out to local sponsorships, local businesses to get involved. Luckily, I've been able to get something from the Illinois Farm Bureau to donate $2,500.
Cool.
And I'm reaching out to major corporations. I asked Dustin, you know, for some context that he knows up in Morton with Caterpillar and some other companies. Mitchell's looking to get some sponsorships, you know, with a local bank and car dealership. You know, so it's once again, it's all family right here trying to do this.
Yeah.
But, you know, trying to work with the radio and local media outlets to get come out here and get people. We work really hard. And we want people in those stands.
Yeah.
And it's show it, you know, against your friends and competitors. But, you know, to have people that are not familiar with this industry and don't see the amount of work that goes in here to put a show on and for people to enjoy the experience. And, you know, we want to have, you know, people in those seats and experience the joys that we get for showing these horses.
Yeah.
And we want that same thing. So hopefully we can get them. I think there's some big announcements that are going to happen pretty soon. So hopefully we can start sharing that stuff and maybe get some more community involvement. And I think when that happens, it's going to be too late. And
yeah.
I think the community is going to miss that.
Yeah.
You know, the business is like, oh, wow, we should have gotten involved. We should have done this
earlier.
Yeah. So that's my opinion thing is keep on, you know, just keep on trucking and just keep on reaching out to people. And, you know, it's okay to hear no, but you know, I might come back again. It's like, I just want to reach out again. It's like, hey, just want to clarify that you really don't want to do this. This is now, you know, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
You sure you don't want to be involved?
But that's why so many people are scared to ask. And all you do is ask. And the worst thing anyone's ever going to say is, nope, can't do it. And it's okay. We move on to the next.
Yeah.
So
I think one of the big measures of success, though, is if you can fill the stands. Like, I think it's easy for us exhibitors to say, yeah, it was a good show or whatever. We did well. But I think from the committee's perspective, if I was on the committee, if I could fill that coliseum, to me, that is the true measure of success of the show.
Because it's more fun to show in front of a crowd. Oh. And for the NABC, you guys were down here and I was down here as well. And it was free to the public and there was nobody here.
Yeah.
It was kind of sad. And it's not fun. Here's your world show and you're going in there and nobody spent a ton of money to get there and it's spent a ton of time and you're not showing, you're showing in front of your peers' crews.
And I know one thing, my mom just mentioned it, try and reach out to different sponsors and maybe that has never been into the Clydesdale industry. And I think about, we give carrots to our horses on Sundays as a treat. Hallamore gives, you know, tons of carrots to their horses.
10 pounds every day.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then while working with
Kale gives none.
Now we're working with Budweiser. People's like, oh, can we give carrots? Can we give carrots? And of course we'll take it. But you know, we don't ever hand feed, but
anyway,
I was like, no, I'm going to reach out. So I reach out to a carrot company, Grimway Farms. I think they're the second largest producer of carrots in the country. We had a meeting with them and they're not going to support financially, but they're going to give us a pallet of carrots. So hopefully every exhibitor will have a bag of carrots to give to their horses.
That's cool.
So, I mean, and it's by the whim. It's just by, it's like, I'm just going to try this and see what happens. And I just did a blank email just out to their general information and I got a response. Like that's what it takes.
Yeah.
Just giving
it
a shot.
But it took what? 5 minutes to craft the email and you're like, if they come back, they come back. I mean, it's not that much time.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. It's something, just something, even for, I was even thinking when you were saying that, even if you get like 10 exhibitors that would allow them to feed a carrot or a part of a carrot to a horse, then the kids could go walk around and feed a horse something.
Yeah.
That's a neat idea. Neat idea. So we'll probably wrap this up, but I do want to thank all of you for your time. I want to thank Dennis and Linda. Dennis, you're a board member for, 21 years? And you guys are still on the National Sale Committee, and you have been since I was a child.
Yes.
So I do want to recognize you guys for, most board members walk off, and they might contribute and sit on a committee, but they're not physically actively doing anything on a committee. So I do really want to commend you guys for your huge effort for the breed and for since I've been a kid, we were on the board and your family's been a part of this. And I think that's super, super cool.
Yeah.
And it needs to be recognized. So,
well, I think, Linda, you just got pulled back into being the banquet coordinator too.
Yeah,
we couldn't do a banquet without
that. Was
her.
That assertiveness for photo day and scheduling? Watch, just still got that talent.
Watch out when we get to the banquet though. Yeah. When she meets us with the whip.
Yeah. Oh no!
You get in line.
I don't carry the whip
it's
anymore.
It's gonna work so smooth.
If my
on Friday
parents
night.
Come down to the world show, I'm gonna say don't bring the Volvo because they do have a Volvo. But I'm gonna say don't bring that one.
Well, Mitchell's wife used to drive it.
She ever whipped the car? Shucks. Oh. Well, this has been really cool. I really appreciate you guys'
thank
time.
Thank you
and
so much.
This has been awesome.
Thank you as well. Appreciate you.
Thanks.